They filmed the Dumb and Dumber, and they went to the Stanley Hotel because it was like the set for this beautiful hotel. Jim Carrey, in the middle of the night, because they were staying at the hotel while filming at the hotel, and Jim Carrey in the middle of the night ran out of his hotel room in boxers, ran through the lobby and outside, and said, "I will never stay in that hotel again." And still has never told anybody what happened in his hotel room. But he had such an such a scare that he ran out and without putting clothes on and wouldn't go back. They had to go and get him a different hotel while the rest of the crew still stayed at the Stanley. The Shining? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the hotel. That's where everything was filmed for that section. Yeah. And then who was it? Oh yeah, Stephen King. The reason he made The Shining is because when he went to the Stanley Hotel, he felt someone get into bed with him while he was sleeping, and he like kind of freaked out and got up. He couldn't sleep the rest of the night, and he said the rest of the night he kept having these images put in his head that went on to become The Shining, but none of it came from him. He couldn't sleep, so he started writing this down. And by the time he was done, he had written 17 pages of ideas for the movie. Just boom, like boom, 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 boom. He's writing it down as it comes into his head. He's not sitting there thinking of it. He's just writing it down as it comes into his head. And he wrote the entire plot for The Shining right then. And then he went and made the movie. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much all of them have been there. Yeah, I think almost every ghost crew has at least gone there once.
Yeah.
You can find it. If you go look up YouTube videos, you can find it. The scariest thing is it's kind of built on what is it, like salt? It's not like, it's like rock, but it's like got a lot of salt in it. Salt. Yeah, something like that. And so they had to instead of just leveling it, it was so expensive to chip through it that they just made all the posts different levels on the bottom. And you can go into the basement where it's like a little bit deeper and just see that like the entire hotel is just resting on like little wooden posts that just sit on top of this rock. And there's a part where they've literally jacked up the hotel and like slid 2x4s in between these posts in the hotel. Yeah. And there's one part where it's like stacked. And it's like, this is in the very middle of the hotel. This is the most supporting beam. And there's three little pieces of 2x4 not nailed in between the post and the beam running across. It's like those three little pieces of 2x4 that aren't nailed in are supporting the weight of the hotel. Yeah. No, it's crazy. But hey, guys, welcome to the Off the Path podcast. You joined us in the middle of a conversation with my dad. My dad's here with us right now. He's not going to be on the podcast today. He's going to be on the podcast on June 20th. So make sure you keep an eye out for that one.
The episode won't be there June 20th.
You know what I mean.
We're going to record June 20th.
The Monday after June 20th. Yeah. But yeah. So sorry for jumping in the middle of the conversation. But to be fair, you joined in the middle of the conversation. So it's kind of your fault, honestly.
Yep.
But anyway. Yeah, welcome back. Yeah. What did you do?
I worked.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You didn't do anything this week besides just work?
No, not really. I changed the shop around a little bit.
Yeah, you did change the shop around. We're facing a different direction than we usually face.
We are.
It's kind of messing with me. I'm looking at the wall instead of looking at that wall.
Oh, no, a different wall.
There we go. Probably should be facing the door.
No, that's okay.
That's fine. How was work today? I know that it was rough.
Yeah, so it started off super chill.
Yeah.
I was just doing nothing. And then
this sounds a lot like my day.
And then I've been waiting for material to come in for specific parts for this truck.
Yeah.
That's literally the last thing to go on the truck. The truck's sitting in QC just waiting for these parts.
Okay.
So they can get delivered to the customer. And I get a pallet of stuff and they're like, "Hey, we need you to cut up this material so you can do it." It wasn't the stuff we ordered, but they had found something else or something like that. It was fully so the material is for like tool boards on the inside of their compartments. And the pallet they brought me is a fully assembled slide out tray with that material.
So they want you to cut the trays up?
No. So I disassembled the tray.
Oh my gosh.
Pulled the material out, and then it's not the same, not the same width that I need. So it's like, okay, now I have to redo all of the engineering on it.
Yeah.
To cut it to the size. And it's not the same thickness. Our pack track material that we use for it is single sided.
Oh, good.
And the ones that were in it are double sided. And so I'm sitting there trying to figure out how to cut a 40 inch by 5 inch by, you know, inch or 2 inch piece down the middle. And to make it flat so that I can weld it onto the panels that we have.
That sounds
And they're like, fun. We need this done immediately, now.
Yeah, that's always right away.
And then I like tried a bunch of different things, and I was like, I don't have any more ideas.
Yeah.
And my boss was like, figure it out. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
I have till like Wednesday next week
there you go.
To do it. And we did figure out, we made a little jig, and we're basically running like a handsaw over it to cut it in half. I was trying a bandsaw, but the blade kept walking.
Mm,
we have a table saw, but it only goes up like an inch, so it won't even cut the material all the way. It was a fun day.
That's a fun day. Yeah. I had a similar experience today.
And the other part is I'm tearing down all the racking in my area.
Okay.
So I have a big tube laser that's like tucked away because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so I was in the middle of that. Like, they're like, hey, do this. And then they're like, never mind, actually do this because this is more important. So.
That's funny. No, I had a similar experience today. I went into work, obviously, and I immediately get told, like, hey, it's just a bunch of, like, lot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're chilling today. Like, we're not going to hustle. We're just kind of going to glide through work and just, like, enjoy a Friday.
Yeah.
I'm like, that sounds perfect to me. So I'm gliding through work. I'm not trying to go super fast. And, you know, I'm getting stuff done. Go to lunch,
mm-hmm.
right? I get all the way to lunch. Go to lunch, you know, and so lunch is part of my work day. Like it's paid. So like I technically only work 7 hours and get paid for 8.
Gotcha.
Right? Because I get a paid hour long lunch. So there's only 3 hours when you come back from lunch.
Yeah.
3 hours goes really fast when you're detailing cars. Like, and usually we kind of call it at 2:30 anyway, because it's not like you're going to start another car.
Yeah.
So you're really only working 2.5 hours after lunch. Well, I come back from lunch and they're like, there's 2 cars that weren't there before.
Yeah.
That still need washed even.
Mm-hmm.
And a wash is like 45 minutes each. And, they're basically like, hey, we need these done by the end of the day because they want them for the weekend because they think people will be interested in them. It's like an electric ID4 that nobody's ever looked at twice and a Golf. That was like, you have 27 of those on the lot, but you need this gray one. So anyway, we start working on them. And, yeah, we finally finished them at like 2:45, I think. So it went from a chill Friday to literally not stopping at all, like not even stopping to drink water. And I stopped once to run out and say hi to them for a second.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was nuts. We were all like trying to work on different parts of the car, working around each other because we were like, all three of us on this one, go, 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 get it done.
Yeah.
All three of us on the other one, go, 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 get it done. And it was just, it went from a chill Friday to just absolute pandemonium. And then I did their Jeep.
Yep.
And then finally went home, and then now I'm here. So that was my day. Yeah, it was. I don't know. We had the same experience.
We did.
It was just like,
it was super weird.
We thought we were in for a chill Friday, get off a little early, go to the podcast, and everything fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But, well, dang, dude. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
We do this every episode. We get through like what we've been up to, and then we sit here and we look at each other for a few minutes and try to figure out what we want to talk about. I mean, every time I ask him what his week was like, he goes, "I worked."
Because I did.
Yeah. Well, you did.
I don't know. There wasn't.
Yeah, and I yeah, and that was
and
our
there's
weeks.
An extra 10 seconds in the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're moving along. See, but you could do this. I don't know why you're nervous about your episode. It's easy.
It's just talking.
You just sit here and talk.
You don't even think about the microphone at a certain point. You just got to make sure you're... I know, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know why you got the pink one.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, you would think that's funny.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny. So silly guy. I got the pink one. The vodka?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did I say that? I'm confused.
Anyway. No, you don't. He was there for that. You were there for that. We were at dinner at Crave. And I was talking about, I was bringing up the story. It was some story. I forget what story it was.
Is it the 4th of July story?
No. Yeah. Yeah. It was for the first episode. Yeah. Then I looked. Yeah. No, I looked at you and I was like, and he was having vodka sprites or some gay drink like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. No, that's
no. I was drinking vodka sprites. They were just easy. I don't know. I didn't have Coke, and so
it's funny. Like this like welder. It's like a dude. You know, like you really are like a dude.
Yeah.
And then I just picture you going up to the bar and be like, "One vodka sprite, please."
Can I get a Cosmopolitan? Yeah.
Actually, you can just put some Malibu in a glass and hand it to me.
I did make a good Malibu drink when I was in high school.
Really?
Allegedly.
Out of what? Allegedly?
Malibu. Because
you were 21 in high school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I figured.
I couldn't read. I still can't read. Yeah. I'm a welder.
What are you doing over there? Stop doing that. Stop it. Stop. Why do you make my job harder every time?
Malibu and Mountain Dew.
That sounds disgusting.
It was pretty good.
I don't know what either of those are.
Yeah.
Oh, mixing wine? Jeez. Oh my god. Yeah,
I imagine so.
You're just drinking jet fuel. That's insane. That's funny. Well. Well, you got to see the opening. This is what we do. We come here every week and we just talk. But it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to your episode. Yeah. The last one was really good. Yeah, it was really good. And we had a really good time, that one. This one we'll probably have a good time. I just don't know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. There's going to be a big cut section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. We'll be flowing by then, probably.
Yep.
But, all right, well. Do you want to get out of here and get back to mom? Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody say goodbye to my dad.
Bye, everybody.
And we're back. My dad just left. We ended up talking to him for like 20 minutes.
Dallas.
The vodka sprite capital of the world. I'm sorry to anyone who I may have offended. This will probably be my last air. Deep left field.
I'm not sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sorry. I mean, it's funny. It's really, really funny.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that video, go and search the video of the baseball announcer not realizing his mic is on and getting canceled halfway through a baseball game. It's really hilarious. That's what we were talking about outside.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back. And in that whole time, I didn't really think of anything that we could talk about.
No, we were just talking.
Yeah, we were just hanging out.
But, did you listen to George Janko's most recent podcast?
I did not.
It's so good.
Really? Who is it with?
I forgot.
I said it's so good. I have no idea who it was with, but it was
it's
so
just like
good.
I know the guy, but like I didn't realize like what his name was. His name's Charlie Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know who that is.
And man, that guy can talk.
He's very good at talking.
He's like he's perfect for a podcast.
I've never seen him stutter. That's kind of scary.
He talked about like at the very beginning, like he realized in like freshman year that he had a gift for explaining.
Okay.
And like that was something like the teachers put on him, and then he started doing, you know, political stuff in high school, things like that, and he got like I forget who it was. Some like big politician like took him under his wing when he was like 17, 18.
Wow.
And basically convinced him to not go to college and just tour the world and talk politics.
That's crazy. Yeah. So. Yeah, I saw a clip of him talking about like him dropping out of college to do something like that. But
yeah.
I see his clips every once in a while. He's always just at a college campus like just schooling kids.
Yeah.
Like, and not even like in like a, it's not always in a political way. Like sometimes he's literally just having to teach them what something means.
Yep.
It's like, how are you in college and you don't even know what this means? You don't even actually know what you're asking about. Like the definitions of things.
Yeah.
It's well, kinda crazy.
And like one of the things he talks about is like college campuses are supposed to be based around, like you can speak about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he's like, I only talk about the truth. And the fact that everyone that comes up to me and disagrees just shows that like the colleges aren't based around the truth anymore.
True. Yeah. They're not like, they're not teaching kids, like I know they're college age, but they're not teaching kids just the facts anymore. Like they're leaving out tons of things, especially when it comes to history.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of like college graduates that don't know history at all, and they don't realize, like, they think that, like, they get the parties swapped all the time. Like, they love to give, and I don't even align with a party, but they love to give, like, the Democrats credit for all these things that the Republicans did.
Yep.
It's like, did a professor actually teach you that? Because then you're just blatantly lying while supposedly teaching. You're supposed to be, like, building the next generation, and you're building it on a bunch of lies because, like, you're trying to push your own political thing.
Yep.
Like, I don't ever really try to push my political beliefs on anybody, and I just think it's super wrong, no matter what side you believe, to teach your political beliefs as truth rather than just teaching the facts and letting them decide for themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's been happening at college for the last few years, and I think it's pretty messed up, but I don't know. It's cool what he does, that he goes and tries to do that, you know?
Yeah,
a lot of the times it just falls on deaf ears. I love the clips of people just screaming at him. And I'm like, it's funny to sit there. It's really funny to sit there and like have a mentality that you're way better than the person that you're screaming at while they're trying to have a normal conversation.
Definitely.
Yeah.
he just did. He did. He went to Seattle.
Yeah.
UW.
Yeah.
And that is the most left-wing school in the nation.
Yep.
And he had he sold out
the venue.
Yeah.
Wow.
And had to turn away people at the door. I think that's said he sold out, I don't remember the numbers, but it was some like 3,000 people sold out, and they had to turn away like 2,500 kids.
Damn, dude. I was gonna flex on him real quick. I was gonna say we're gonna sell out 5,000. Not a big deal, but A little bit more, like, you know, stay in your lane. But
Yeah.
No, okay. but if you had to turn away 2,500, then geez, bro.
Yeah.
That's actually crazy. And was it actually people that wanted to come see him, or was a lot of it people just wanting to, like, fuck with him?
No, I believe it was people that wanted to come see him. Well, and it doesn't, like, you can go to those things and go there to mess with him, but in the same sense, his message is still going to come across, and the truth always has a way of finding its way to the surface.
True.
So it's, no matter what, it's a seed planted in their heads.
Yeah.
Whether they, you know, come for good intentions or ill intentions.
Yeah.
One of the cool things I like is anytime he has events like that, he goes and says, like, if you, like, he does his spiel, he talks whatever, and he goes, if you disagree with me, go to the front of the line.
Really?
And he talks to them first before he talks to the people that do agree with him.
Yeah.
And just have questions about things.
I mean, again, I'm not trying to like choose sides here, but you never see like a liberal spokesperson doing that.
No.
Like he's the only person, and mostly, and he's not the only person, but usually people on the Republican side are like the only people that I see that are willing to have conversations with people that they disagree with. And I'm for conversation no matter what. I think everybody should be talking, because we have so many problems because people just won't talk anymore. They won't communicate anymore. They won't let themselves disagree anymore. And, you know, yeah, I think it's like a, it's a cool thing to be willing to disagree with someone, mm-hmm. rather than just coming into it and being like, you have to have my same viewpoint and you have to agree with me, or you're this, and putting a label on something that doesn't even deserve that label. They just have a different viewpoint than you, or they have a different belief than you. And yeah. That's not even just political. That's in like all types of subjects. You know, people try to force their belief in all avenues of life on other people.
Yeah. One thing I just thought of, like, I don't know what the high school curriculum looks like in Idaho.
I have no idea.
But like in Washington, they're basically, the standard is called Common Core. And I know it's...
Oh, yeah, we have Common Core here.
So it's, yeah. I don't know if it's nationwide, but I know it's in a lot of places. And one of the things, like, that I remember learning is, like, growth mindset versus fixed mindset.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, like, thinking about it now, and you think about the left side and what they discuss, but yeah. they're the ones that are also, you know, pushing the agendas in school.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
making up those curriculums, and it's like, so you're going to teach growth mindset, but you're not going to practice it.
Yeah, well, they like to teach kids that. It's so contradictory because they like to teach kids, think for yourself.
Yep.
You know, be whoever you want to be. Don't let people tell you who to be. Also, you have to believe this, or you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, that's backwards. Like, you're trying to tell them, and it's got to be so confusing. Like, I don't come at it in an aggressive way. I literally feel bad for a lot of these kids in school. It's got to be so confusing to be constantly told, like, think for yourself. Like, don't let anybody, like, tell you can't be this. And then, like, in the next subject get told, like, well, if you're not on this, then you're this. Like, you're messed up, or you think wrong, or you're racist.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I try not to get too into the nitty gritty of it, but it's kind of sad to me that it's probably really confusing and probably like really rough in school to like actually try to figure out, you know, what's the correct way of thinking about something. Like, do I actually think for myself and try to form opinions, or do I just listen to what everybody tells me to all the time? And that Charlie Kirk show is a really good example of the theory that I've heard quite often lately, whereas if you live somewhere where everybody is voting one way or telling you it needs to be one way, and a poll goes there and asks people on the street, you're probably not going to say what you actually believe because you don't want to get singled out and like ridiculed.
Yeah.
And so these polls come in and they're like, oh, everybody thinks this way. But then that guy comes to town and sells out a show. It's like, okay, clearly everybody doesn't think that way.
Yep. I think part of the, like, thinking for yourself in school, like, especially in high school, I don't think that happens as much, to be
honest.
Definitely
not, yeah.
Just because of, I mean, you're still developing, you're trying to, you know, figure out who you are.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're still a shadow of what your parents taught you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so, like, you definitely step into, like, learning to think for yourself and that kind of thing, but...
Yeah, you can also go the other way, though.
Yeah.
I was, like, I remember when I was a teenager, I was like, my parents are wrong about everything. They don't know anything. I'm just becoming more and more my dad every single day now.
Yeah.
I'm just fully just becoming my dad.
Well, and it's weird because it was, like, I was the opposite. I was like, my parents know everything.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like them,
yeah,
and
damn.
I'm growing... I feel like I'm growing, not apart from them, but just different.
In a different direction.
So.
You're taking like your own path on things.
Yeah.
I think ultimately you have to take the good things from multiple influences, right? Like, you don't want to just base your whole existence off one influence.
Yeah.
And you can learn good things from multiple influences. Like, I've learned some really valuable lessons from people who I don't agree with on any views at all. And then I've also obviously learned really good lessons from my dad, who I agree with a lot of things on. So, yeah, I think you can learn things from everyone. I think that, and that takes back to the conversation thing I'm saying. Like, I have gotten immense wisdom from just sitting down and talking to someone who otherwise I would never have talked to. And I think conversation can be so valuable for somebody. And it's crazy to me that we're kind of living in a society where it's like frowned upon to like have conversations with people that aren't in your same mindset.
I mean, what do you think the biggest problem in modern relationships is right now?
Lack of communication.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just there's no, I don't think there's anything that teaches proper communication between two parties that doesn't resolve in an argument or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's, no, there's no sit down understanding.
There's no example of it.
So it's, you know, in any case out throughout your life, if you haven't learned it through trial and error, yep, it's just you're set up for failure.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. They don't even teach you. I mean, in school, they don't teach you about like the other side of conflicts where, oh, they came together and they sorted this out before it even became a thing by having a conversation at a table, right? They only teach you about the wars where, oh, we blew them all up or they blew us all up or we killed everybody.
This many people died.
Yeah, and it's just a constant story of that the only way to solve problems, kids get taught the only way to solve problems with the violence. It's a repeated violence, violence, violence.
Yep.
And video games, and I'm not trying to be like a Karen mom, but it's true. And video games and school curriculum and the internet and life, everything is a resort to violence, whether that's online hate or physical violence or just being like told that, you know, being taught, even if it's subliminally, I don't know if I said that word right, not going to lie, but even if it's like subconsciously, you're still low-key being taught that the best way to deal with something is by lashing out, yeah, instead of sitting down and having a conversation. And lack of communication affects so many different things, like friendships, relationships, all kinds of things. And it's, I don't even know, like you said, I don't even know where someone would learn that. I've only learned it by failing.
Yeah.
I've never once actually learned communication or how to communicate certain things by someone or something telling me this is how you do it.
Because I don't think those systems are in place, honestly.
Yeah.
And I feel like the only way to change that sense is to just have, not to sound to the left side, but have, yeah, a safe space to do those things. Be able to do it with people you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So that you can learn and grow in that sense. And I feel like it also stems back to the families nowadays is a lot of parents try to be friends before their parents.
Yep.
And
true. Yeah.
When you're friends before your parents, you don't get to have those difficult conversations.
No.
And yeah, be able to learn and grow in that communication. And that's where it all starts, is with,
yeah,
them.
Yeah. Well, a lot of parents just aren't parenting anymore. Like, I don't know. Like, I get wanting to be friends with your kid. There has to be a balance where they also respect you as a parent and you're teaching them valuable lessons. And that is another thing that's lacking in society is we just have a lot of parents that are friends with their kids and they're not doing the other part of it of teaching them valuable lessons and, you know, being rough on them to prepare them for the outside world.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me that there's a kind of this expectation that because instead of going back and fixing the parenting, now we need to make the world a safe and cozy and cushy place.
Yep.
When it used to be the world is a rough place and you need to get prepared for it and you need to get ready for it. Like, things aren't always going to go your way. It's not always going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. There's going to be problems. You know, that's what I was taught.
Yep.
And it made me a lot more prepared to go out into the real world and actually deal with things. And I think that it's truly the wrong approach to try to soften the world rather than harden the parenting in that sense. Am I an expert on parenting? No, I've never been one, but that's just my personal belief. Cause I think the softer and softer you make people, then you kind of lose sight of a lot of different things, in the midst of that.
I was gonna say I forgot his name already.
Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk. He also talks about in history anytime there is a tyrannical government that is trying to overthrow the people, the first thing they do is destroy the family. And that's all it is softening the world is just destroying the house, destroying the family.
Yeah, as soon as you get rid of the family unit, there's no structure in society anymore.
Yeah.
And so then it's so easy to just lead a structureless society, because it's like the blind leading the blind, right? Like that saying. And so nobody knows what to do, and everybody's learning by failure, or they're not learning because they're living in this idea of an existence that's soft and does exactly what they want it to do, right? They live in this bubble.
Yep.
And so either side of it, nobody's learning like the right way, and people are learning the wrong way, and there's no structure to it. And yeah, it destabilizes everything when it's like that.
Yep.
Definitely. That's a serious subject, but no, I did have one thing, speaking of societies, I did have one thing that I wanted to talk about and ask you things about.
Can we talk about that little yelp for a second?
Sorry, I moved my mic and it creaked and it scared me and I yelped. I apologize for that.
The spring creaked and you got scared?
The spreak cringed and I got scared.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah. What's up, guys? I'm sorry to put a halt in the podcast, but we got a great sponsor today. It's a sponsor that I'm sure you've heard before and you've grown to love just as much as we have. Maxwell Plumbing, it's truly the service for all your plumbing needs. And as the customer, you can always trust that they will provide integrity. Integrity is a really important thing in this day and age. And a quality service and amazing prices are also really important. So please don't try and do that plumbing job by yourself. You shouldn't be messing with that. And the professionals know how to do it so much better. So call them today and set up your appointment. The number that you need is 208-429-1996. That's 208-429-1996. Tell them Off the Path Podcast sent you. They're truly the best plumbing shop, and I know that all of us around here trust them with any problem or situation. Thanks to them for sponsoring, and thanks to you for listening. Now let's get back into that podcast. No, I wanted to talk about zombies.
Oh, this.
Yeah, this. Yeah, I've already mentioned this. I've been on this for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I've started to get big into like zombies and how realistic it is that we could actually have like a zombie outbreak in like modern world.
Yeah.
And I found some scary things. So I'm going to go over the scary things that I found out about.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm going to ask you questions about how you think you would do if there was a zombie outbreak.
You know how I would do.
No, I don't think so. I think I know how you think you would do, but
you. Okay. Yeah. I was into zombies very young.
Okay.
And I actually used to be afraid of zombies. Like, because I was like five, and my mom and her best friend showed me the Thriller music video.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was just
yeah.
frightened ever since. But I played a lot of zombie video games growing up. Things like that.
Call of Duty Zombies.
Call of Duty Zombies, yeah. The Last of Us. And I don't know. I have thought a lot about zombies. A couple of my parents' friends were not preppers, but they like to joke about what they would do in an apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
Like, my parents kind of played along, and we had our game plan of what to do and things like that. Yeah. So
I don't really think there's anything you can do. I think you can have like a game plan, but once shit actually hits the fan, like
it's just fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, everything's gonna go crazy.
And so, it wasn't like we're going to hold up here. We're going to loot this place. Yeah, it was like, we're going to group together and we're going to head to this location because it is discreet and out of the way from major things.
You know the best place to be if there's a zombie outbreak?
Space.
No. I mean, actually, maybe. It might be better. It might be better than my idea.
Minus the lack of material, but yeah.
Minus the lack of being able to do things.
Yep.
I was going to say, like, water.
Yeah.
Historically, zombies can't swim. Seems to be a common thing. And
I don't know if historically is the right word, but
in the movies, historically in movies, zombies can't swim.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick by that. Even though it's just movies, I'm going to think they can't swim. So I'm thinking like a houseboat in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
You can fish for food.
Yep.
You can cook the food with fire.
Yep.
Or you could just say screw it and go all the way to the ocean.
Yeah.
Try to get on a military boat and get shot down. But at least you died to like a military guy bravely instead of a zombie.
You think like in all the movies where they have like outbreaks and stuff that Hawaii ever gets infected?
Dude, Hawaii never gets infected.
So I feel like that's where I'm going, is I'm going to Hawaii.
The thing is, and a lot of movies make this mistake.
Uh-huh.
They're never shutting down the flights.
No, you know, they just keep them going.
They just keep them going. And I'm like, that's how it spreads.
When, it's because the government did it.
True. Now
I'm just tying both things together.
It was a lab leak. That is confirmed this week. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
They never shut down the flights. They never shut down travel. It's like, I could stop any single zombie movie, despite like the weird ones where it's like, oh, it's like a chosen zombie society. That doesn't even make sense to me. But the ones where it's like a radiation outbreak or some weird disease, that's like they made it up, but it starts somewhere.
Yeah,
I could solve every single zombie movie by being like, shut down the roads and stop the planes. Boom. It's now contained in a city and you can deal with it.
Nuke them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And that's what they did in Army of the Dead, which is actually a really good zombie movie. They contained it to Vegas and they just bombed it. And I was like, that's exactly how you handle that.
Yeah.
They put like, first of all, they stopped travel, so it didn't go anywhere else.
Yep.
Then they put shipping container walls around the entire city, so they couldn't leave.
That's a lot of shipping containers.
Yeah, it was actually pretty crazy. I didn't know where they got that many shipping containers.
Trains.
True, true. Boats. And then boats, yep. And then...
cargo planes.
Okay, I get it. There's places where you get shipping containers. And then they dropped a nuke on them. And I was like, that's exactly how you handle that situation. Why is no other zombie movie, not one person has been like, what if we just... did this, and it always spreads because there's someone on a plane.
It's not entertaining when you contain the virus and destroy it immediately.
Zombie movies would just be like 15 minutes long.
Yeah,
it's like there's an outbreak, we fixed it.
The movie ends.
I'd watch that. It'd be satisfying to see somebody actually get something done.
That's just like a skit at this point. You just fucking record that on Instagram.
Yeah, that would be a funny skit.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's only one zombie movie that actually scares me. I've watched a lot of zombie movies because I kind of got into it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one that's actually ever truly scared me.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
I want two guesses.
You can get two guesses.
Because I'm going to guess a different movie, but I think I already know what movie it is.
Okay.
First guest. I Am Legend.
No, it's not the one that scared me. But that is...
That one's spooky.
That one is very scary.
I don't know if you've seen the director's cut of that one. It changes the ending completely.
Really?
And it's even more spooky than how it normally ends.
Yikes. I Am Legend, that movie is just kind of crazy. Like, I remember watching that movie and just, like, it's, like, you know those movies that are really unsatisfying, but you just can't stop watching?
Yeah.
That's what I Am Legend is for me. The movie that is scary to me is satisfying. It does have its good satisfying ending, kind of. I mean, actually, kind of not really. But it's how the zombie outbreak happens that's genuinely terrifying.
World War Z.
Yes. World War Z is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's real. Like, it's not like a made-up disease or, oh, this weird thing happened. Like, it's rabies, which is a thing that exists in our world. And makes animals go fucking crazy.
Yep.
And what do you know? Rabies, which is known to be like a smart virus, it literally makes an animal go crazy and attack other animals because the virus's sole intention is to spread itself.
Yep.
And the premise of the movie is that this virus, which we already know to be a smart virus, adapted to affect humans.
Yeah.
And... we had a rabies outbreak. That's what World War Z is. It's a rabies outbreak that makes humans go crazy and attack each other and just go for blood all the time. And they run.
They're fast. That they keep it's not like they're keeping their intelligence, but they can still work together to do things. Like the whole climbing up a huge
fucking wall scene, bro. They're like, we're all safe because we have a wall. And then they throw
a party. Yeah. Like idiots. Well, that was stupid. Make a bunch of noise. And then all the zombies just start climbing the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many scenes in that movie that are terrifying. Like, yeah. There's so many parts of that movie that I'm like, if this were the zombies that I got, I'm not lasting more than a day. No. Like, it's over. It's so over.
Walking Dead zombies, I'm pimping.
We're fine.
World War Z zombies. Yeah. I don't know, bro.
They run so fast. Because one thing that I realized about them, Sarah and I watched the opening scene last night. We just watched the opening scene, then we turned it off.
Yeah.
Because the opening scene is one of the craziest opening scenes in any movie, like, let alone zombie movies. Like, they're just in the middle of a city. It shows exactly what would happen if you were in a big city and an outbreak happened. And it's insane. Like, the absolute pandemonium that happens in that scene is crazy. We're watching it, and I'm realizing that the rabies causes them to just go, like, full strength, full, like, endurance all the time, because the body no longer recognizes, like, that fatigue. It gets tired and that fatigue is real. So they're running at absolutely as fast as they can run. They're just ramming into, like, doors and windows and things with all of their strength because the body isn't scared of getting hurt anymore.
Yep.
That's a terrifying thing. Like, one of those zombies and I'm cooked.
Yeah.
And all of those scenes, there's, like, hundreds of them.
Yeah.
The scene that scared me, before even the wall, it's just terrifying to even think about, like, living in that, like, type of life. Before the wall scene, when they just show the helicopter view, and it's, like, all the people inside, and then you just see, like, thousands of dormant zombies just, like, standing there because, like, they're waiting for noises to happen, basically.
Yeah.
Or they're trying to get, like, through the cages. Like, just imagine that. Like, you can never leave. Like, that's on the outside if you ever try to leave.
Yeah.
And it's, like, millions and millions of people. But the scene that really got me thinking is the plane scene in World War Z,
mm-hmm.
where everything's fine. They're chilling. They're getting this plane out of there of people that are okay. Of course, there's a zombie on the plane.
Yeah.
And it infects the entire plane. The whole plane goes fucking berserk. It's like, what if you just stopped air travel and it doesn't spread to other places?
Yeah.
Because that pilot is not going to get, well, maybe. I mean, they might bust through that thing. Theoretically, if the pilot is able to get to the next destination, now you just have a plane full of zombies to go and infect whatever that destination is.
Delivery.
Yeah. Delivery. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. It's actually zombies. You're fucked.
Yeah.
But World War Z is scary because of the rabies thing, because I feel like that is a possibility that could happen. Like, it could figure out how to adapt itself one day. And
the other one that frightens me, I don't know how much you've got into The Last of Us.
I've never even played any of the games, I'm not going to lie.
Do you know what that zombie outbreak is based on?
No.
Mushrooms.
Son of a bitch.
It's basically a cordyceps, mutation.
Yeah.
That allows, because they need, like, our body temperature they can't live in.
Okay.
Because they need colder climate.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, cordyceps are a real thing.
Yeah.
And they do exactly what a zombie virus does in real life. They infect the plant life and take over it and use it as a host.
Yep.
There's
a lot of diseases like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's but the whole thing was, and this is the spooky part, in the show, well, there's a show now and the two video games. The explanation is because of global warming, it causes that cordyceps to mutate, and we are now in that zone of they can survive in our bodies.
Yeah.
And then they infect all the humans.
Yeah.
And become...
Well, there's bugs out there right now that, like, can, like, burrow in other, like, bigger bugs' brains or even, like, small, like, rodents.
Yeah.
And control, like that's their entire, like, making is they can, like, burrow into the brain and then control that thing for a period of time.
Yeah.
So it's like, what happens when, like, they figure out how to get into a human brain? Like, the ones where it's, like, kind of a real possibility just terrifies the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But I also can't stop watching World War Z. It is such an insane movie.
You should watch The Last of Us. It's a TV show.
I'll definitely have to check that out because now I'm really curious. Damn, I wanted to try mushrooms too.
Really?
I've gone into the psychedelics thing because Because, well, here, not there's a lot of negatives to some of them, right? A lot of them, there's a lot of negatives.
Yeah.
And I'm not promoting drug use. But I do, a lot of people, if you use them in the right way, supposedly, and you use the right ones, they're like unlocking parts of their mind and like realizing things and like becoming aware of things mm-hmm. that like you can't become aware of otherwise.
Gotcha.
They're like, and you can like go to dreams and figure out the meaning, or like you can go into your brain and like go back to a memory and like relive the memory to figure out like what you missed or what you can't remember. There's stories of like specifically mushrooms
mm-hmm.
Where this guy he had a like an idea for something, and then he lost the like notebook where he had scribbled out how to like do this idea. So he used mushrooms to go back and relive the memory.
Interesting.
And he figured it out. And so there's this idea with psychedelics that you, if you go into it with intent, that's what the experts say. If you go into it with intent to do something, you can actually control the trip and get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stories. The ones that spook me are like people where they're talking to beings, like intelligent beings.
Yeah.
Like in this realm of like the psychedelic. And they're having like full conversations with an intelligent being that's like not in the room with them, or like not real, like you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But like they're getting intelligent conversation. And I truly don't really believe that the brain can like fabricate some of the things that these people are coming out with. Because like there's this like one, like Matt McCusker, like we know who he is.
We do.
Shane's co-host.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really funny guy. But he had a trip where he was having a bad trip.
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh, I'm just messing my entire life up and everything's going horrible and I'm going to die. And then these three like beings showed up and were just like, dude, stop. You're freaking your own brain out. You're messing this up for yourself because you're thinking this way. You're doing good in life. And then he got sent out of his trip and was just like, oh, I'm fine. Like, what's the big deal?
What the fuck?
So it's like, what is that? That's and like, what are you tapping into? That's my question. When you do psychedelics, what are you truly tapping into in your mind? Because think of like the worst one that I would never, ever even think about touching.
Yeah.
I've just heard a lot of stories, is acid.
Yep.
The things that people see and experience on acid are not of this world. You can't tell me that it's of this world.
No.
But so it's like that begs the question, what are you tapping into? Like, what are you, like, do you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm asking?
Yeah. And like, even if, you know, the mind can't comprehend or create these things that they're seeing.
Yeah.
I wonder if influence in like culture
mm-hmm.
changes that in any way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder if like, if you took like, I don't know, an Amish person who's never seen Star Wars or anything like that.
Yeah.
If they have a similar trip or not.
Well, I kind of have an answer for this.
Okay.
It's for something for us to think about.
Yeah.
The Native Americans
were
very big into psychedelics.
Yeah.
And they have all of these legends. I mean, they created the SW legend.
Yep.
They created a lot of other legends, very scary ones. And they were deathly afraid of these things. It wasn't like, oh, this is like maybe a conspiracy. They fully believed it to be true.
Yeah.
They taught their kids about it. They taught their kids' kids about it. They had stories about it. They did dances about it to keep them away. They did rituals to keep these things away.
Yeah.
And also, coincidentally, they did a lot of psychedelics. Now, a normal person would sit there and say, well, they did a lot of psychedelics, so their brain created these things, and they were never real. They were just scared of these things that they created in their own existence and experience. I look at it and say, did they tap into something where they were now able to see the things around them and see what was going on, right? So much of America is unexplored. Like, we think, like, we've figured out everything. There's so much mountain and forest out there that we haven't even tapped into that's uninhabited.
Yeah.
There's so much room for things to just be hiding in forests. or just existing around us, and we don't see it because half the time we're all looking at a phone anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the Native Americans, they didn't have Star Wars. They didn't have scary movies. They didn't have zombie movies. They didn't have ghost movies.
They didn't have movies.
They didn't even have, like, books.
Yeah.
But they had this stuff. They were scared of things like this.
Yeah.
They even, Native Americans wrote about zombie-like creatures, like, as a result of psychedelic use.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They didn't have influences to make their brain think of this stuff. That was just where their brains went, or that's what they tapped into. So that makes me really curious. Like, are you tapping into something else, or is your brain creating it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's just a very interesting thought to me.
I still don't think I'll take mushrooms or psychedelics. I'm not.
Allegedly.
No, I won't.
You're not at all. You're not at all just curious as to what your brain like wants to show you, because that's the thing about psychedelics is you really, unless you go in it with like crazy intent, which I think you have to be experienced to do that.
Yeah.
Your first like experience supposedly is something that you haven't figured out that your brain wants to show you.
Interesting.
And so are you not like at least a little bit curious about what your brain's going to tap into? Well,
now I am, but I didn't realize that was the first trip. I don't know.
That's what they say.
I don't know. I'm going to say that I wouldn't, but I don't know if you handed me some mushrooms right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I wouldn't take them.
Yeah. Well, now, like, there are people out there, I'm not just going to dox anybody, but there are people that now microdose mushrooms.
Yeah.
And they said, like, their testimony is that their whole existence has become so much, like, better and enlightened because of this. Like, they see more things than they would normally see in life. Like, they genuinely think that they're getting more out of life.
Yeah.
Because they're constantly on, like, a microdose of this stuff. And it's constantly unlocking. I feel like it's kind of like unlocking a compartment in your brain that you normally don't have access to.
Yeah.
And it like shows you things in everyday life.
Well, and there's also a lot of companies right now that are using mushrooms for like health benefits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the putting it in coffee or things like that, or, you know, improving your energy things. And it's just, it's interesting that this, you know, fungus has so much control over what goes on in our brains.
Yeah, that's a curiosity.
It's interesting that you brought up mushrooms because I did order mushrooms, not like psychedelic ones.
Oh,
like,
you're just regular mushrooms?
The ones that like, you know, help you out in life to kind of like give you energy and motivation and things like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to need it a lot for the BMW. True. So I'm just going to be popping those things like Skittles.
Hell yeah. I don't know. I think that because I've allegedly I once tried edibles.
Okay.
And that experience is not like anything special in my opinion. You're just like, you know, you're giggly. You're high, you're giggly. You're not tapping into anything with that.
Yeah.
But then I hear about these other experiences, and it's like these guys are going places in their mind. They're like unlocking doors in their mind. And that, like I said, I'm not sure if I would ever actually commit to doing that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it would have to be like such a like safe time. Like we're not doing anything for an entire weekend.
Yeah.
We're staying in one place the entire time.
And we have a babysitter.
But I can't lie and say that I'm not curious about what it unlocks in the mind of what these people are experiencing. Because, like, the stories they say, nobody has the same story. It's all so individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just really curious, like, you have to be curious about what your individual existence is according to your brain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So I'm looking at the personalized blends that I ordered. So for this one under clarity, it says it helps focus, supports attention, helps you enter like a flow state.
Yeah.
Lion's mane mushroom.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And then there's also L-theanine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a bunch of other things like a tea leaf, I guess. And
yeah, yeah.
Things like that. Yep. But I got clarity, energy, motivation, and confidence.
That'll be interesting. I'm really curious to like hear from you what that does for you.
Yeah. Confidence has ashwagandha in it.
Oh.
I don't know anything about these things. I just know they're buzzwords right now.
Oh, ashwagandha is like a... That's kind of on the edge of a psychedelic.
Is it?
Really, yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's legal,
oh
though.
Oh, my goodness. Obviously. Oh, never mind. I just read that so wrong.
What?
There's one that's called 4-Skullin.
What?
I don't know what it is, what it does. But I definitely just read it as foreskin, and I was like, oh, no, what did I order?
Oh, no, but I ordered foreskin mushrooms.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm just going to take all four of them all at once.
You just got four of the things?
Or? So it's like a pack.
I might have to pop a couple of those and just see what happens.
Yeah. You'll have to just take
Do you think
the
you'll
test.
Be able to feel it, or will it just be like subconscious?
I have no idea. Let's see. This guy reviews, within a half hour of the first time taking it, I saw immediate results. I'm more alert and focused than I've been in years.
Really?
Dude.
Here's what you got to wonder about, okay?
Yeah.
Humor me for a second.
Okay.
Ancient civilizations, all the way up to like Native Americans, you know, the old people.
Mm-hmm.
We're really into this stuff.
Yeah.
Really. They weren't into weed and cocaine. They were into purely just psychedelic, different types of psychedelics. They all had different types of psychedelics. The stuff that gets sold and controlled now is literally just like I call them like destroyer drugs. Like yeah. All they do is like damage the body and give you a crazy high.
Yeah.
And psychedelics are super banned. Do you kind of get what I'm putting down?
I definitely get that.
It's kind of weird to me that like supposedly these guys were tapping into a lot of stuff with psychedelics,
mm-hmm.
and that's like the thing that's banned the most is psychedelics, and it's like the most you're taught it's the most to be like feared, you know?
Yeah.
But then you read about like what like specifically I keep bringing up Native Americans, but they were doing a lot of interesting things with psychedelics.
Yeah, they were.
And they were like they would do a lot of their dances on psychedelics, and because they believed that they could. Well, you always get told in history, it's they believed that they could do this. But what if we talked about it in a way that like they could channel their past family members and learn wisdom from them?
Yeah.
Or they could speak on a higher level to each other, right?
Yeah.
Like you're getting one that makes you more alert. So is it so far-fetched that like you can take one and unlock a part of your brain that has all the information you've ever learned like disposable to you?
Yeah, just like right there.
Yeah.
On speed dial.
On command. Like you can just be like, I learned about this thing one time, and then go into the full thing that you read, even though if you tried to do that without it, you'd be like, oh, it's I kind of like remember this.
Almost giving yourself a photographic memory.
Yeah, for like a period of time.
That'd be nuts. I would love that.
I've heard of experiences like that. That's what makes me so curious.
Yeah.
Like I genuinely have become really curious lately. I don't think I would ever actually get the balls to do it, but like
I think
like I might.
If we ever do it,
allegedly.
We need to have our podcast equipment.
Yeah, just record what we say.
So it's like, you know, we do it, and I know the trips last a decent amount of time. So like I don't know, couple hours in, you just have our babysitter set up the podcast, and then we just start podcasting.
The things we would say, I mean, well, I don't know you don't could, know, you don't, just don't know.
I don't know if we would even post it, honestly.
No, but it would be crazy to,
listen to once we're off the high.
Yeah, and be like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, that would be insane. Like, there was a guy who learned German in elementary school.
Okay.
And didn't remember a single word of it.
Mm-hmm.
He took a psychedelic in Germany.
And got it all back?
was speaking fluent German to the people he was partying with.
That's crazy.
Like, off of it, he had no idea even how to say hi.
Yeah.
But he tapped in somehow to, like, his fifth grade, sixth grade, whatever grade he was, memories and lessons, and was speaking it fluently to the people around him.
That's nuts.
It makes me curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like I'm going to take it and then just be able to assemble every motor I've ever read about ever.
That'd be crazy if you just, like, you took, like, especially, like, actually, the alert one and, like, you just put together your motor, like, without even, like, stopping for a YouTube video.
Yeah.
You just put everything perfectly back together.
Yeah. Or, like, I think they have ones for, like, creativity and things like that, and it'd be perfect for the engine bay. Just pop one of those, and then just, like, say, all of that stuff just comes to my head, and I have every solution for it, and I just bust it out in one night, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore.
I was going
to
say that'd be perfect for the podcast. We just both pop one of those before we start. We would never run out of topics,
never.
Dude.
We'd go for 6 hours.
Yeah, and we'd just cut it up into 6 different podcasts.
Yeah.
That'd actually be hilarious. Yeah, no, cool. I'm really curious about that, but back to how that ties into, like, the conversation we're having.
Yeah,
there's obviously bad psychedelics.
Oh yeah,
and there's, like, bad trips. Obviously, you have to be wary of bad trips. And I'm like, I don't know, man. It's kind of weird. Like, where did this idea of a zombie even come from? Right.
Yeah.
I kind of have this belief that I've started to form that all, like, myths came from a truth at some point. And it might not look like the myth we have today.
Yeah.
But there had to be a truth that started the myth, right?
Mm-hmm.
There had to be an original experience that someone had, that their individual experience made them go tell the story to friends. As it got passed down, you know, stories, as it passes down and passes down, it becomes less and less real
mm-hmm.
to people, especially because they never experienced it or never saw it. So it's like, I kind of have this belief that there is at least one truth to every myth in the beginning. And it could be greatly exaggerated now, or it could be under-exaggerated, or it could be modified. But, like, what was the truth that started the myth, right? What was the truth that started, like, a zombie outbreak myth?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. But I think that's our podcast, brother. Is there something else you want to talk about?
No. We'll save it.
Yeah. Save it for the next one.
I don't know what I was going to talk about now, but
That's where you need that alert one.
I do.
Keep you alert so you keep remembering these topics.
Hold on. I don't. let me look at this shit again. No, I need the energy one because that builds mental stamina.
I need the energy one. I would take one of those every single morning.
Like the energy one, it shows the effects over time.
Really?
And it's like, apparently it lasts like 6 hours.
Yeah, dude, some of these things last a really long time. Like
the one that you are going to take, 1,000% is the motivation one.
Oh yeah.
Because it manages stress better.
Oh, yeah.
It manages your procrastination better.
I'm in. I'm so in.
And it helps you maintain willpower.
Yep. I'm fully in.
And then confidence is also good because it encourages a calm state. Like, I need to be more calm.
If I had 100% willpower, everything would get done.
Yeah.
I like, within one day,
everything.
All of the things that I want to do would just be done.
Yeah.
And then I would find new stuff.
Our event would be set up and ready.
100%.
The car would be half done.
Yeah. I would be a millionaire tomorrow.
Yeah.
Somehow. Yeah. I would make it work.
So we're going
to. I'm so curious about this, brother.
I get these on Monday. So.
Okay. I might have to try a couple with you.
Yeah.
All right. Dude, let's do it. We'll have an update for you in the next podcast.
Yeah, we will.
We'll definitely tell you how it felt. So. Make sure you tune in to the next one.
We're going
to
pop a couple of those before we talk about our next guest.
We are going to pop a couple of those. But the next guest is going to be super fun. We're having our really, really good buddy Derek on.
Yep.
And then we have our really good friend Randall. Unfortunately, he's moving out of the U.S. We're not going to dox exactly where yet. We'll let him talk about it. But he's moving out of the U.S., and so this is kind of our last goodbye.
Yeah.
And we're going to have him on the podcast. We're going to say goodbye. We're going to talk to him. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that one. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
Goodbye.